comics,
movies,
music,
video games,
technology,
Blu-ray,
television.
This is the HHW LOD Podcast Network.
I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe, hello, hi.
Out Now is a film podcast with Abe and I discussing new movies weekly, however, every now... You know what? Whatever. This time of year, guys. It's a special. This is a super special. Like, it's not just one of our regular bonus episodes. It's one of our, like, this is like the Super Bowl of podcasting right here. We're going to talk about the the Oscars. Technically, the top 10 list are Super Bowl of podcast. This is like the Golden Globes of podcasting right here. We're going to talk about the Oscars.
Yeah. Hollywood Foreign Press.
Ironic, right. Really. It's the Golden Globe of podcasting where you talk about the Oscars.
I mean, you're Tina Fey and I'm Amy Poehler.
Exactly. That's exactly it. I am Tina Fey. You're right. I'm wearing my glasses right now.
I'm running Pawnee's Parks Recreation Department.
Don't get me started on Parks Recreation right now. I don't need to get emotional. Okay, this is the prediction
show. Don't tell me anything.
I won't. Okay. Right. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Oscars. We're doing the predictions. They're happening this Sunday. Abe and I, as we've done, we're going to have a prediction show once again. And we're going to predict all the what we think will win, as well as some commentary on what we think should win. And with that, we of course have guests with us to talk about these. As usual, we have from Fast Film Reviews, Mark Hoban.
Hi, everyone.
And from awardscircuit.com, we have Terrence Johnson.
Hey, everybody.
And we have the four of us here. We've all made our final predictions for what we think are going to win the Oscars. And of course, you know, whoever wins between the four of us gets something. We basically just to make fun of the other three for not doing as well. But
didn't I get a minion one time?
You got a minion?
I thought wasn't that for the summer box office?
Oh, okay.
I feel like that was for the box office.
I won it for something. I couldn't remember.
I don't think I've given any prizes for the Oscar thing. We just make fun of Abe generally. That seems to be the result.
Because I'm right all the time.
Yeah. But this is pretty straightforward, guys. I'm going to go through all the categories. We'll list the nominees, and we'll each, you know, say out what we think will win, and then we can each go over what we think should win as well, or get into discussion about it. So that's it. Show notes, whatever. You can find all our shows and everything on iTunes. Give us reviews and ratings. It'd be wonderful if you did that. And we're just going to go straight into it. And then on Sunday for our regular podcast weekly recording, we'll do the results show along with a review of Predestination, which we've already said that we will on this week's episode, where we talk about Kingsman and 50 Shades of Grey. Catch up on that if you want to. But right now we're going to do some Oscar stuff. So here we go. Neil Patrick Harris presents the Oscar nominations. So let's start off with, of course, one of the, you know, the single most important categories of the night, as I say, best short film live action. And we, of course, these are some of the easiest ones to read the names of. We have Aya, Boogaloo and Graham, Butterlamp, Parvana, and The Phone Call. That is a hell of a list of nominee names.
That is.
And I believe, Mark, you've seen the shorts, correct?
I have. I have actually seen all these.
Terrence, have you seen the shorts?
I have not. Last year I was able to see all of them, but this year, no dice.
Okay. Well, with that said, let's start with Mark then. Mark, what do you think is going to win Best Short Film?
So my prediction to win for this category is Boogaloo and Graham. And should I go into, like, why?
Let's each go, and then you can go into why, since you're the only one that's seen them. Terrence, what do you have?
I have Parvana, however you pronounce that one.
Okay. Abe?
Mark went with Boogaloo and Graham, and I'm going with Boogaloo and Graham.
Okay. I have The Phone Call.
Ooh.
So we're almost all different on these, so this is already going to make up one make or break point right here. It could,
that's
anyway.
That's why it's most contentious.
But Mark, what do you think of the nominees here?
So Boogaloo and Graham is sort of the most lighthearted, and I mean, it was actually my favorite of the categories. I thought it was a nicely told tale, and so I liked it the most. The Phone Call, I wasn't really crazy about it, but that's sort of the favorite, and it's also the one that has actual has stars in it. But this sort of thing happened last year. The Voorman problem was the favorite to win, and it didn't win. And I think for the same reason, I don't think it's actually that great. It's kind of a dreary tale, and I think Boogaloo and Graham is the kind of tale that will resonate more with voters.
And I've heard that both with that and with Parvaneva, actually.
Oh, yeah, I liked Parvaneva also. That was actually my second favorite of the shorts. But I think Boogaloo and Graham is a little bit more, I don't know, it's cute, I guess.
Okay. Since you're the only one that's seen these, it's hard to like get into a conversation about it. And it's, it's the best short film live action. So how much time do we really need to spend? We have other things. So let's move on. Let's get to the next one. Maybe the second most important category of the night, best short film animated. And here we have the bigger picture, The Dam Keeper, Feast, Me and My Molten, and A Single Life. And now I have seen the animated short films. And Mark, you have too, of course. But Terrence, you didn't get around to any of the shorts, correct? That's what you're saying?
No, but I have seen Feast. And,
Feast, yeah.
That's
and
true.
Everyone's
that's
seen Feast.
That's my prediction.
That's your prediction?
Yeah.
I could say that's my prediction as well. Abe, what do you have?
I went with Me and My Molten.
Okay. Mark?
And I went with The Dam Keeper.
Okay, so now between the two of us, we've seen these. The Dam Keeper, that's certainly this was one of the hardest ones for me to pick, and because I can see the Dam Keeper, I can see how that can win. It feels like an Oscar pick, honestly. That's what it feels like. It has this kind of has complexity to its story. It has the storybook look to it in terms of the animation style. It resonates, I'd imagine, with the viewers of it. It's also long. It's also 18 minutes long. And I don't know if that counts against it or anything, but at the same time, you have Feast, which is fun. It's poppy. It's enjoyable. Everyone's seen it. But it's also Disney doesn't tend to win these all that much.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, they don't tend to win when they don't ever win when they win animated feature.
Yeah.
Like they either get one or the other. So I'm predicting Feast this year.
Yeah, last year they had Get a Horse and that was the favorite and it didn't win. It lost to Mr. Hublot. And
my pick.
Yes.
I will never not mention that I picked Mr. Hublot for the win.
Because it was like the one area that like went.
It was make or break, yeah.
But I think the Dam Keeper. I personally, I think it's the best one. I think Feast is a good choice, also. I mean, I enjoy that as well. But I think the Dam Keeper has more. I don't know. It's a deeper story, and
it
I
is.
Think it, it
and it's neat because like four of these, I really like. The one Abe chose, Me and My Molten, is actually, I think, my least favorite here, and probably the one that I think is least likely to win all of these.
But they look like characters from Alexander the No Good, Horrible, Very Bad Day.
That's wonderful. Yeah. My favorite among these is actually A Single Life, and it's the weird, obscure one that is not going to win either. But again, there's so much more to go into in this list of nominees, but I just want to say I really like it. I wrote about it on my blog, thecodeofzeke.com. You can read about my thoughts there because I don't want to go too far into these short animated films. I also really like the bigger picture in terms of the animation style, but that's another thing.
I mean, my want to win is The Dam.
The Dam Keeper?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
All right, let's move on. Let's go next year. All right. Let's get into some technical awards. Okay, let's do the sounds. So best sound...
No documentary short?
We'll get there. I'll do that when I do documentary.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Best sound editing. Here we have American Sniper, Birdman, The Hobbit, The Battle of Five Armies, Interstellar, and Unbroken. And Abe, what do you have for this sound editing?
I don't know how this can't go into anybody else but Interstellar.
Okay. Mark?
I have American Sniper.
Terrence?
I also have American Sniper.
I have American Sniper as well.
What?
Okay.
I mean, it's a war movie. I think that's the kind of thing that.
And it's a Best Picture nominee. That kind of helps right there,
yeah,
too.
I guess that does help. Yeah.
Yeah, I think if anything else in this category is going to take it, it'd be Birdman. But,
yeah, I think it'd be either of the Best Picture nominees are the ones that I kind of give it to. It's so weird that, again, we've mentioned this before in the podcast, that Interstellar is nominated for both sound categories, given the various controversy involving the sound of this film.
Yeah, involving Michael Caine talking.
Anyway, moving on. Best sound mixing. Here we have American Sniper, Birdman, Interstellar, Unbroken, and Whiplash. Same question. Abe, what do you got?
Interstellar.
Mark?
Whiplash.
Terrence?
American Sniper.
And I have Whiplash as well. Now, this is a... I feel like this is one that could go... This could go a number of ways. This is where it gets kind of tricky with these ones, but I mean, you have three Best Picture nominees in here, for one thing. But yeah, you have American Sniper, which... You know, it has that loud credit going for it, basically. Yeah. It's an action movie. And Whiplash.
Musicals tend to win this category.
Exactly.
Whiplash is not a musical, but it is kind of in that genre. Chicago won this award. There's a few others.
Ray won this award.
Ray, yeah.
Dream Girls.
Yeah, so all of that's the reasons why I picked Whiplash.
Yeah.
Interstellar's not going to win anything, so it's going to win one of these sound ones.
Well, no, it's going to.
Oh,
let's get to the next category.
Okay.
Let's move on. Best visual effects. Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Guardians of the Galaxy, Interstellar, or X-Men Duff. Abe, you were saying? What do you have here?
I actually have Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Mark, what do you have?
I'm not backing down.
Visual effects often is won by a movie that also happens to be nominated for Best Picture. We don't have that category this year. None of these were nominated for that. However, Interstellar is kind of like a Best Picture nominee, so that's why I'm picking it.
Terrence?
I'm going to go with my heart and pick Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Thank you.
I agree with Mark, everything he just said, actually. I feel like it has the favorite here would probably be Interstellar of these. It probably has the most prestige clout, if I had to guess, in terms of how to vote on these. But as my want to win, I'd love to see Dawn of the Planet of the Apes take it, that's for sure. But we'll see. All right, we still have more of these techie awards going here. So, but
they're important.
They are. No doubt. I like these more than the regular ones because the regular ones are the performance based ones are kind of not as interesting to me necessarily
this year.
There's one that might be, but let's do best original song, and here oh god I don't even have the names of these things. let me find it real quick. Where'd it go? I have the score. Where are the names? Oh, here we go. Okay, we have Everything Is Awesome from the Lego Movie, Glory from Selma, Grateful from Beyond the Lights, I'm Not Gonna Miss You from Glenn Campbell, I'll Be Me, and Lost Stars from Begin Again. With those, Terrence, what do you have for best song?
Glory.
Mark?
Let's see. I'm still up in the air on this one. You know what? Oh, gosh. All right. I'm going to go with Everything Is Awesome.
Okay.
I'm gonna pick that one.
Abe?
No doubt that I really, really love Glory, but I think Everything Is Awesome is going to take it. Come on. Lego Movie not even nominated for a top animated film. Got to give it something.
The same with Selma, though. Got to give it something. And it's not going to win Best Picture, and it's a Best Picture nominee. A lot of those reasons. I'd love to. That's certainly my pick. Everything Is Awesome in terms of want to win. But yeah, I'm going with Glory on this one.
All right.
It's a tough one too. Like,
yeah,
I'm excited Selma's to see these performances. They're all going to be there.
I'm definitely going with my own personal feelings on this one. The Glory is the odds-on favorite, but. I'm just going to go with my gut.
I'm liking the follow the hearts and the guts on this podcast right now.
These yeah, picks man.
Some of these, because this is a tough year. This isn't the easiest years for a lot of these categories. Like, I feel like last year wasn't as much of a challenge. There are certainly things that we missed or whatnot, but it didn't feel like I was stressing out as much as I was over this.
Like who wasn't going to pick Let It Go?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I might not have
a song that no one ever got annoyed by and everyone listens to constantly.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, everyone loves Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem is great, right?
She's great.
Yeah. Okay, best original score. We have The Grand Budapest Hotel by Alexander Desplat. We have The Imitation Game by Alexander Desplat again.
Twice?
We have Interstellar by Hans Zimmer. We have Mr. Turner by Gary Yerjan. And we have The Theory of Everything by Johan Johansson. That's a fun. Johan Johansson. That was fun. That just rolled out the tongue.
Yeah, that's great.
Speaking of which, I'm picking Johan Johansson for best score. Abe?
I am also picking Johan Johansson for Theory of Everything.
Mark?
Yes, the uplifting Theory of Everything.
Terrence?
We'll make it 4-for-4.
Wow.
So all of us are going
agree.
That direction.
Yeah.
So do we all think that Desplat is going to cancel himself out by having two noms?
Kind of. Also, he's got other chances to win. I do think
he's had nine so far.
Yeah. He's composed a lot. I think he composed like 3 or 4 films that are released a year. Yeah,
he's going for Roger Deakins' record.
Yeah.
He's going for the Roger Deakins record.
He's going for the Roger Deakins.
That should be an award within itself.
Maybe the Theory of Everything, too. They'll bring him on to co-score.
More black holes. Right.
I'd say, of the ones I'd want to win, I mean, I really like the Grand Budapest Hotel score quite a bit. I really like the, I mean, I'm not huge on the Imitation Game, but I think that's a good score as well. Mm-hmm. But Interstellar is probably my want to win.
Yeah. Right, that's kind of my want to win as well, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Next we have Best Makeup and Hairstyling, and here we have Foxcatcher, The Grand Budapest Hotel, and Guardians of the Galaxy. Terrence, what do you have here?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mark?
My prediction is for the Grand Budapest Hotel, but I would love to see Guardians of the Galaxy win it, because I don't think it has, you know, can't win anything else, I don't believe.
Abe?
Guardians of the Galaxy. How long did it take for Drax the Destroyer to get ready?
I have Grand Budapest Hotel. I'd love to see Guardians of the Galaxy win as well, but yeah, Grand, I mean, this is another one where it feels like they can go to any of these three, but I just lean on the Best Picture nominee as the one to give it to.
And I think Grand Budapest Hotel this year is that sort of, you know, meticulously put together production that's going to take a lot of awards that honor that. So this is one of those.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we can get to that. Now, actually, let's move on. Let's get to Best Costume Design. We have The Grand Budapest Hotel, Inherent Vice, Into the Woods, Maleficent, and Mr. Turner. Mark, do you have Grand Budapest here?
I do. Grand Budapest Hotel, for the same reasons.
I have it as well. Abe?
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Terrence?
Another 4-for-4.
4-for-4 on Grand Budapest. Okay.
Although, I would not be shocked if Into the Woods won.
Really?
I wouldn't either. And I think we talked about this on that podcast where I said Colleen Atwood. And she's done a good job in the past. So I wouldn't be surprised by the upset there. But yeah, I, for the reasons Mark stated, I think if Grand Budapest Hotel is going to... It's fun. Like, I never want to not say the whole title of this movie, by the way.
Right. I mean, there's no way to shorten it. Budapest?
You just
Hotel,
say Budapest
Grand,
Hotel or Grand Budapest.
Yeah.
Just say the middle words. But yeah, I do think it. If it's a movie that's probably not going to win Best Picture, I think, and but it has all these other award nominations, and it's, you know, people genuinely like this movie. I do think it, you know, has a lot of these you know tech awards kind of dialed in. So we'll see. Once again, speaking of which, Best Production Design, we have The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Interstellar, Into the Woods, and Mr. Turner. Terrence, what do you have for Best Production Design?
The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Mark?
The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Abe?
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Okay, so another 4-for-4. Wow. I think we can all repeat the same thing on this one, so let's move on. Okay. Best Cinematography. And we have Emmanuel Lubezki for Birdman, Robert Yeoman for The Grand Budapest Hotel, Lucas Zal and Rizard Lazowski for Ida, and Dick Poop for Mr. Turner, and Roger Deakins for Unbroken.
People aren't going to even know what that means unless they were watching Oscar morning.
That joke will not go away come Oscar night on Twitter. I can guarantee you this. Mark, what do you have for Best Cinematography?
I mean, if Birdman wins anything, it has to win this. I mean, this was the most sort of interesting thing about the film was that it had this one shot take. So Birdman for Best Cinematography, it has to win.
Abe?
I also have Birdman winning, although I would be upset if Grand Budapest took it.
I have Birdman, but I wouldn't be upset by any of these except Unbroken. sorry, Mr. Deakins. Sorry, Mr. Deakins, but yeah, I don't think that this if he wins for this, that's like, really? It's like,
that's,
this is the makeup
like
Oscar?
Right, that's kind of like they're like, hey, sorry for the other ones. Here, you finally got it.
Yeah, but I definitely have Birdman. Terrence?
Birdman.
Okay, so we're all for Birdman in this one. Next up, we have Best Film Editing. And here we have American Sniper, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, and Whiplash. By the way, I mentioned the names on Best Cinematography because I really like that award. That's probably my favorite like tech award of all of these, so I do like representing them. And people seem to know the names of these guys more than a lot of the others on the kind of techie side of things, as far as kind of general public goes, that are somewhat a little bit more in tune with film stuff. But anyway, film editing. What do you guys have? Abe?
I've got Boyhood.
Mark?
I have Boyhood, but I think it's close.
Terrence?
I have Boyhood barely over American Sniper.
Really?
Really?
Yes.
American Sniper?
It's interesting. That's not the one I was saying it was close with.
I was thinking Whiplash.
You're thinking Whiplash? Well,
Whiplash, yeah.
I'm thinking that box office has American Sniper a lot closer in a lot of these categories than we want it to be.
I have Boyhood, and I think it comes down to not necessarily thinking that Boyhood's going to win Best Picture, but the idea that it's going to, I think because Birdman's not in here, the race gets a little easier in my eyes, and it goes to, you know, the other one of the two front runners, which is Boyhood, and I'm kind of looking that way, and just the kind of achievement that comes with a movie like Boyhood. I'd certainly like Whiplash to win. That's like my dream Oscar. That's the one where, like, if there was one thing to happen tonight, I mean, really, pie in the sky dream Oscar would be Nightcrawler winning for best screenplay, but that's not going to happen ever. So, I mean, if I have to go with something,
parallel universe, maybe
it'd be Boyhood Whiplash, because I just feel like that's so crucial to the film, especially when there's no best director nomination for Whiplash, but. We'll see. Yeah, I do think I wouldn't say Boyhood's like hands down, but yeah, that's a good one. That's a close one for sure. Yeah.
There's definitely positives for both.
Yeah.
Whiplash and Boyhood.
But sure. I wouldn't count out American Sniper though. I think that's a credible pick.
Right. And especially with the box office thing that what Terrence was talking about. But, you know, a Boyhood, 12 years condensing it down to 3 hours. Minus that Rumble in the Jungle truck, but yeah, pretty kind of difficult, right?
And it's another, like, how many American Sniper noms are there? Is there six? Is it six, right?
I didn't count.
I think it's six. So far, I only have it winning one. I have it winning for sound, what, editing? Yeah. It's hard to pick against movies that have so many Academy Awards that, like, when you look at it, it's like, wait, it's not going to win anything? That's sad. I feel like I want to make up for that somehow. But we'll see, I guess. I recall, like, Mark Johnson last year, I think he picked against Her because American Hustle, he needed it to win something, and that was his logic in that.
Yeah.
Regard.
Which?
And he was wrong.
He was wrong, yes.
We can spend the rest of this podcast talking about Mark Johnson being wrong on things, if you like. I mean, that's fun to do.
Oh, he has a stat.
Oh, really?
Regarding visual effects and production design that has foiled our editor twice. And he's finally stopped listening to Mark regarding the winner of visual effects also winning production design.
Huh, interesting. Okay, moving on. What do we have next? Best documentary short subject. And here we have Crisis Hotline, Joanna, Our Curse, The Reaper, and White Earth. Mark, what do you have here?
Okay, so I've seen all these.
Yes.
And this is the saddest.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
most depressing group of films I have ever seen.
They sound like it from their titles.
It's
The Reaper.
That one, I mean, that one takes place in a slaughterhouse.
Of course
one,
it does.
The curse has to do with a little baby that has tubes in his nose to breathe. It's awful. I mean, like, they're not bad documentaries, but they're so hard to watch. But
and,
with
and
all
they're
that
like,
said,
they're, what one's like 40 minutes, right? Like, there's some of them are like really long.
Crisis Hotline might be that long, mm-hmm. But that's the best. Crisis Hotline is really quite well done. It has to do with people who man a suicide hotline for veterans and people who have been in war. And given everything that's happening, first of all, it is the best of the five. I mean, like, I was like crying. And the subject matter, given American Sniper, and this is sort of like the real story and of what happens after people come back home, I think it really has a powerful statement. So Crisis Hotline, I feel very strongly about it.
Okay. I have Crisis Hotline too, just based off just stats and things I've been hearing about it. Terrence?
I have Crisis Hotline as well.
Abe?
Crisis Hotline. Mark Hoban, you sold me.
I like to think that Abe is like not secured all of his votes yet for some of these categories in an effort to not
how
like,
many trailers can you watch
in an effort to like not pick like the thing that's probably not going to win beforehand and like have some informed knowledge.
I'm actually just building up enough ammunition to say, man, see, Mark Johnson led me astray with Crisis Hotline. I should have gone my gut of something else. It's, Joanna.
This is why I'm asking in various orders who has what for what. So we to kind of narrow down who are actually already picked what they have to pick. Next up, we have Best Documentary Feature. Here is Citizen 4, Finding Vivian Mayer, Last Days in Vietnam, The Salt of the Earth, and Virunga. Which I see ads for like all the time for Netflix, Virunga. I have picked Citizen 4 here. I feel bad because really? I have not actually seen any of the documentaries this year that have been nominated, which is unusual for me, actually. But I have Citizen 4 just based off everything that I've been hearing. Mark?
I'm going with Citizen 4. I have seen Citizen 4. I am going with it mainly because it is the most seen film. I haven't seen Finding Vivian Mayer, but I am sort of like leaning towards that because I've heard it's a very feel-good film, and that's the kind of thing that I think might take this category. But I'm still going to go with Citizen 4.
Terrence?
I don't know if Vivian Mayer is a feel-good, but it's certainly like it's got like a mystery element to it that I could see voters liking, but I'm picking Citizen 4.
Abe?
Going with Vivian Mayer, Finding Vivian Mayer. I'm surprised by the Citizen 4 thing. I guess maybe it is more widely seen, but I was thinking that there's probably a lot of like government backlash that says, don't watch this or I don't even know what. But I'm kind of curious to see if it'll pull off an Oscar win there. But you guys seem you guys seem pretty strongly about your pick.
Abe, you haven't seen it?
I have not, no.
And Terrence?
I have not.
Okay. So nobody's seen it except for me. I mean, it's really boring. I mean, I know it's like it's well reviewed, but I mean, the whole thing takes place in a hotel room, and a lot of it is just him like talking to the interviewers, and it exposes a subject that is very troublesome. So in that respect, it pushes the boundaries and it's informative. But it's not good cinema. I mean, this is my opinion. But I didn't think it was. It's not a exciting film or anything.
Not like The Fog of War.
I never saw that.
I keep bringing it up because that's a really good movie. It is just Robert McNamara talking against a white background.
If Last Days in Vietnam wins, I mean, I'm all for that too. I love history.
Yeah, the other four I haven't seen, so I can't compare it to that. I'm picking Citizen 4 because I think it's the film that most voters have seen.
There's not enough Holocaust in any of the rest of them, so like it's hard, you know, it's up in the air.
Right.
Okay, next up we have Best Foreign Film. Ida, Leviathan, Tangerines, Timbuktu, and Wild Tales. Abe, what do you have for Best Foreign Film?
I went with Wild Tales, probably because it got really good reviews, but also I watched the trailer. It kind of spooked me out. And I think that people are going to be kind of okay with it.
Terrence?
I have Ida because of the cinematography nom, and I think that the Academy as a whole respects it more.
Mm.
Mark?
I have Ida for the exact same reason that Terrence just said.
And I'm with you on that as well. That said, of my picks here, I haven't seen Wild Tales yet. But I really want to. I've heard really good. Abe, I don't think that wouldn't be a surprise to me, given that it seems to be. I'm hearing that it's very accessible, which is, you know, always a plus, I would say.
It's kind of a weird trailer, though, because they're. Anyhow, but I'd be curious to see if I'm wrong again, because you guys all chose Ida.
You haven't had a great history predicting the foreign film.
No. I should have gone with that one Mikkelsen movie.
You should have not gone against the Best Picture winner that year, or the Best Picture nominee that year,
right.
Instead of the Queen of Versailles.
No. It wasn't Queen of Versailles.
I chose. I forget what I chose, but it was something ridiculous.
It was with Mads Mikkelsen.
A Royal Affair.
Yes, thank you.
They're similar. I mean, Queen of Versailles, Royal Affair, those sound like the same movie.
But they're totally different.
I know, they're totally, yeah.
Queen of Versailles is like this documentary about a modern woman.
Yeah. My bad. I'll leave all of that in, because that's my bad.
Yeah.
But of these, as much as I, you know, like Aida and keep saying, hey, go see it because it's on Netflix in 80 minutes.
Yeah.
Like a broken record. And I like Timbuktu quite a bit, too. I didn't mean to have two at the end of that sentence. But I like Leviathan quite a bit. That'd be my kind of want to win.
And, you know, the name Tangerines is very...
I want to see, yeah, I haven't seen Tangerines yet, but I mean, of the three that I've seen, I really like Leviathan. It's depressing as hell, but I still like it a lot.
It's really long, too.
It's like 2.5 hours. But didn't bother me. Okay. Here we go. Next up, we have Best Animated Feature. And we have Big Hero 6, The Box Trolls, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Song of the Sea, and The Tale of Princess Kaguya. Terrence, how do you vote here?
How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Is that a sigh?
It would be great if Laika could take one of these home.
It would be.
And I'd prefer Big Hero 6 of the nominees, but How to Train Your Dragon 2 is one. I think it won the Annie and it won Globe, which is hard for these people to ignore.
Abe?
I got How to Train Your Dragon 2. I'd love for the Lego movie to be nominated and win, but
yeah,
we'll write in ballot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we should.
What if that happened? I have How to Train Your Dragon 2 as well. That's my want and will win for that one.
Yeah.
As much as I'd love to see Laika just have an Oscar in general, and I actually just watched The Box Trolls again today, and I still like it quite a bit. I like it more actually now. But yeah, it'd be great to be, as Terrence, you put it, I think on the last time you were on this podcast, the makeup for Paranorman not winning. That'd be wonderful. But yeah, I mean, Lego Movie may have, you know, been number 5 on my top 10 list, but How to Train Your Dragon is still, you know, in my top 15, and I'm very, very, very happy with that movie. So I'd be happy to see
it win
an Oscar.
The Lego Movie didn't get nominated?
No.
I'm kidding.
Shut up,
yeah, I was
Mark.
Like, I think Mark knows this.
What do you have, Mark?
Not
what's your
awesome.
Pick?
But it's pick? Just I can't even comprehend that. All right, so yeah, without the Lego Movie here, it's I would say How to Train Your Dragon 2, and for the reasons you just said, I think it's I mean, if the Lego Movie had made it into this category, it would have won. But for whatever reason, the animators in this category decided not to pick it, and so now we've got this sort of odd category, that would be my favorite. Honestly, I love Laika animation, but The Box Trolls is not the movie that they should win for, in my opinion. They've done much stronger work. This particular movie I wasn't like a fan of.
Moving on, we have Best Adapted Screenplay, and here I want to read the names on these for now on. Let me find those again. Get these right. Jeez. Adapted screenplay, we have American Sniper from Jason Hall, The Imitation Game from Graham Moore, Inherent Vice from Paul Thomas Anderson, The Theory of Everything from Anthony McCarten, and Whiplash from Damien Chazelle. Abe, how do you vote here?
I went with The Imitation Game, although I like the way that you guys had described in our Inherent Vice podcast, the way that we described how he adapted that one. I would be surprised if Theory of Everything actually won this one too, though.
Terrence?
I have The Imitation Game. And I really, this was one of the toughest categories for me to pick.
Yes.
Because American Sniper is there with massive box office, and The Theory of Everything is also there with two other potential major wins. So it was like, I just had to pick Imitation Game, and now I'm just hoping against hope that everything else will be correct.
Mark?
It's funny that every time Terrence says that it's close, he picks American Sniper, and I have the opposite reason. I think that Whiplash is the possibility. So I'm kind of like between Imitation Game and Whiplash on this category. Gosh, I mean Whiplash, or I'm sorry, Imitation Game won the WGA. So I guess
yeah.
This is the thing. Maybe, you know, Whiplash, I think there's more passion behind it. I think there's people in Hollywood that are more excited. I don't hear people excited about The Imitation Game. So
that's the thing, right? That's the crazy
right.
thing. Like, how to win OWGA? Like, what does it make any sense?
I don't get it. Yeah. So, like, my mind says pick The Imitation Game, and my heart says Whiplash. So I've been, like, back and forth. I guess I'll go with The Imitation Game. But, yeah, I don't know.
I'm on the Imitation Game as well, and for the exact same reason, but it's so like weird picking it where it just feels like it feels like everyone's just kind of it's as if like everyone like it goes through a metal detector and it gets detected, but everyone's just like, let it pass. Like no one's like stopping this movie from getting like all these nominations, yet no one seems to really love it. But it has like all
and
these
I don't understand why. I mean, one of the criticisms of that movie is the way that it handled its subject matter, especially at the end. Which is a screenplay problems. And lots of people have, I mean, a lot of people love it, but for those people who don't love it, it's usually that is the issue they have. So I don't know why it would win this award, but somehow
it's the most white and the most British of these movies.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, the Brits have to win something. This is why I think
There's the theory of everything, though.
Could step in, because I'm sure when we get around to talking about Best Actor,
I think the theory of everything is a good film. I mean, a great film. I mean, Aaron knows I picked this in my top 10. So I could understand that, but I'm trying to figure out which will actually win. And I find myself picking The Imitation Game simply because it won WGA, and I don't like doing that. But
I'm at. It's that kind of thing, again, where I look at Imitation Game, it has all these nominations. It's not winning anything except one thing. In that, if that kind of regard stands, it'd have to be screenplay. Like, it's not going to win anything else. Like, I don't... Ugh. But yeah, it's just like, why? Why is this movie here? why does it have the regard it does? No one seems to care about it.
Yeah, I mean, it could be one of these films that gets a lot of nominations and then doesn't win anything. But
that's very possible. But and then you have the Weinstein factor too. So I mean,
right.
In terms of want, I mean, Inherent Vice is the only one of these movies that's on my top 10. So I'd love to see that happen. But I mean, that's not going to. So there you go.
But it would be nice to, I mean, I think you would be happy to see Whiplash win this.
Yes, Whiplash.
I mean, definitely over Imitation
Game. I'd be more than happy to hear the Academy say Damien Chazelle, because that's a dope-ass name.
I mean, I feel like Whiplash is in that Beast of the Southern Wild territory at this point, where except that it will probably win something, I hope. But it feels more like that kind of Ben Zeitlin's like, hey, good job, man. But like,
right.
Not really actually going to do much.
It is the lead of like of all the Best Picture nominees. It is
that's
the
actually
least
a really
seen,
that's a really apt analogy with the Beast of the Southern Wild. Thing.
Yeah. So. next up, we have Best Original Screenplay, and here, oh god, with the Birdman, we have Birdman, Alejandro Iñárritu, Nicolas Giacobbo, Alexander Dinelaris Jr., and Armando Bo. Then we have Richard Linklater for Boyhood, Emax Fry and Dan Futterman for Foxcatcher, and Wes Anderson for The Grand Budapest Hotel, and Dan Gilroy for Nightcrawler. I have The Grand Budapest Hotel winning this category. I'd love to see it go to Nightcrawler. I don't think that'll happen. You also have Birdman and Boyhood. Yeah. This is also another tough one, but I'm going with The Grand Budapest Hotel. Mark, what do you have?
I'm pretty solid on this one. Grand Budapest Hotel, and a lot because it won the WGA.
Terrence?
The Grand Budapest Hotel, really barely over Birdman, but they don't tend to give Oscars to writing teams of, like, three or more. So,
good to know.
Which is why, like, even if it is a Best Picture nominee, like, I think the last time might be Eternal Sunshine.
That was like three people, right? It was like Kaufman and Jones and a third party I can't think of on my own.
So I'll stick with Grand Budapest.
Abe?
Grand Budapest, 4-for-4.
All right. We'll see. This is something.
It got pretty hard.
Okay. Now we get to the performances here. So we have Best Supporting Actress, Patricia Arquette for Boyhood, Laura Dern for Wild, Keira Knightley for The Imitation Game, that's not going to happen, Emma Stone for Birdman, or Meryl Streep for Into the Woods, also not going to happen.
Why are you
counting
her out?
I'm sorry, there's some of these, like, reading some of these back.
You really could have stopped at Patricia Arquette.
I could have, yes.
Yeah.
Are we all good with that? Can we just say that?
You had me at Patricia Arquette.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't pick anybody else either. I'm there. Patricia Arquette, Boyhood. Wouldn't that be crazy? This next category also, like, what happens? We'll see, but...
I think it's more surprising if something else happens than Best Actress. Best Actor, I could see it... I have one winner. I think I'll.
Well, here, let's go. Okay, let's go to Best Supporting Actor: Robert Duvall for The Smudge, Ethan Hawke for Boyhood, Edward Norton for Birdman, Mark Ruffalo for Foxcatcher, and J.K. Simmons for Whiplash.
Whiplash, man.
Whiplash.
I imagine Whiplash. We all have Whiplash as our, like, will win, but right. Is there, like, a like, if there's any outside chance that, like, if Birdman starts winning stuff, that, like, Norton would get it?
No.
Well, I mean, it's predetermined, but I don't know, and I wouldn't be surprised, though, if somebody, not that I wouldn't be surprised, I wouldn't mind so much if somebody else did, but I think J.K. Simmons did a fantastic job.
If you want to see a picture of me blowing my head off, it'd be for Robert Duvall winning The Judge.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would agree.
That's not happening, so you don't, your head will, you can say
also,
where it is.
Yeah, because you guys had mentioned that,
I think
Mark Ruffalo did a pretty decent job in Foxcatcher.
He's like, great.
So. Yeah, he's
the whole category, except, well, I haven't seen The Judge, but I will take
you don't have to.
I'll take his recommendation on the opposite of recommendation. I think this is a very strong category. So any one of these people, with the exception of him.
And two, it's not like I hate Duvall or I think that performance is terrible.
Of
it's
course
just
not.
Like, it's like, why is this here? Like, same with Meryl Streep in Into the Woods. Like, why? Like, what are we doing?
Oh, if Duvall wins and Streep wins, then I think.
Oh, boy.
it's like,
oh, jeez.
This is
Aaron would never watch the Academy Awards again.
I'd probably riot. I probably would, honestly.
He's just standing outside of the theater with a picket sign.
That won't happen.
I turned the TV off. Like, I don't. I'll just tell me tomorrow. And like one of these will happen first, right?
You can't escape it because Terrence is going to tweet about it.
What was first last year? Was it actress last year? So it'll be actor the first award this year, probably.
Probably.
Oh boy, that'd be something. Off to a bad start, guys. Sorry, Neil Patrick Harris. I'm done. Yeah, I saw your monologue. I'm out. Okay, best actress. We have Marion Cotillard for 2 Days, 1 Night. Felicity Jones for The Theory of Everything, Julianne Moore for Still Alice, Rosamund Pike for Gone Girl, and Reese Witherspoon for Wild. Moore, right?
I don't know. I actually have Rosamund Pike.
You have Rosamund Pike for winning.
I'm on that train. I want
the
her to win.
The only nomination for that movie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Abe. You're picking Rose.
That's a tough one.
Yes, I am. Even though Still Alice, everyone's, you know, going gaga over Julianne Moore.
This is what I talk about. Like, Abe wants to lose.
Going against the tide here.
He wants to lose, honestly.
Give it to Rosamund Pike, I say.
And it's not even like she's the runner-up. It'd be like Reese Witherspoon's probably
the
second runner-up.
Probably number two.
I got to give Abe props because if you're going to go off track, she was great. And it was
they're all great. Like, these are bad.
But she really. That would be my want to win.
Is my want to win. Yes, I'd love to see that happen.
We're all picking Julianne Moore, except for Abe.
Let's
talk about her. The Hours, Far From Heaven, Boogie Nights, Big Lebowski, Magnolia. I mean, that's what this award is about. It's not about Still Alice.
No,
so,
yeah, I know that.
Yeah, because Still Alice is not that great.
I'm not picking it because I like this movie.
It's a lifetime movie, and she's fine in it. But this is The Hours and Far From Heaven and Boogie Nights, Big Lebowski, Magnolia. That's what this award is about. So, I mean, let's just be honest.
I mean,
here.
When you put it that way, I mean, now I feel like an ass.
Well, you've already said your prediction.
Yeah, you already said your prediction. Like, we've locked you in on this one. You're not changing this.
She's also really good in 30 Rock.
The other thing is that Julianne Moore, I think, has won every single award that,
they've made up new awards to give her for this. Like, it's crazy. Right.
They've made up new awards.
It's like best like sauntering walk while having Alzheimer's. Juliet, they gave her an award. It was great. Okay. Next up, this is the trickiest one for the performance categories. Best actor: Steve Carell for Foxcatcher, B. Koops for American Sniper, Ben Combs for The Imitation Game. Sure. I realized that as I was saying it, that's not going to be
that right. Editing didn't. Yeah, that wasn't good.
Timothy Carlton Cumberbatch, recently wed, for The Imitation Game. Michael Keaton for Birdman, and Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything. Terrence, what do you have for this category?
I have the guy who is at the same age Daniel Day-Lewis won for playing somebody with a handicap.
Are you reading my notes?
And that would be Eddie Redmayne. No,
he said this on our show.
I said it at the beginning.
Other people have said this, but yeah.
Yeah,
but it's funny. I mean, you talked about that when we did our nomination show, And the scales have definitely tipped that way since then.
Yeah, he's won everything, which is I didn't expect. Like, I think Keaton won. He, like, the Globe and
they got the SCA,
but like Eddie Redmayne also won the Drama Globe and the BAFTA and Screen Actors Guild, which I think is more important.
Abe, what do you have here?
Michael Keaton. I want Michael Keaton to win. I think he should win. Am I going to be surprised if, you know, a young British guy wins it? Probably not, but I really, really want Michael Keaton to win this. I mean, if you guys talk about Julianne Moore, about All Boogie Nights, whatever else, dude, Michael Keaton, not a huge great body of work in terms of dramatic roles, but this is an amazing...
It's also his first nomination.
And this is an amazing performance.
It is, for sure. It's my want, that's for sure, but I'm still going with Eddie Redmayne. Everything's tipped in his favor at this point.
I know,
a shame, in my eyes. Not for Mark, who obviously picked Eddie Redmayne for both because he wants it had to happen and because...
Do I get to talk?
Go.
My feelings about the theory of everything are not a secret on this podcast. I think that Eddie Redmayne is incredible in this performance, so he is my want and my will win.
Wow.
Do you think there's any chance that Bradley Cooper could spoil? Like, the two could cancel each other out?
I do.
I mean, in some, like, alternate universe, but it's I think it's between Eddie and Michael Keaton.
Bradley Cooper is only a nomination next year away from tying Marlon Brando for the most consecutive...
Four?
Yeah.
In a row.
In a row, yeah.
So what's David O. Russell cooking up next year?
But yeah, that kind of feeling about like wanting to honor someone who's gotten nominated or whatever, I think that kind of thinking would play more into Michael Keaton's favor, that he's this like, you know, actor from the old guard. He's been acting for a long time. And here's this performance that sort of relies on the fact that he, you know, has had a comeback and that's what he's playing. It's like, you know,
I think
like,
it's more of a split, though. I think it's more of because Keaton and Redmayne like tied, it cancels each other out and then Cooper gets it. If that happens, I don't think that's going to happen either. I don't, but I'm just saying certainly like the third pick, I would say, like in terms of like,
Coops.
If one of those two didn't win, it'd be Cooper, which makes me feel bad for Channing Tatum because it's like he should be here, not Steve Carell. But there you go,
right?
Yeah,
it's like if Foxcatcher's not going to win, which it's not, like I'd like to see at least the right.
Well,
actor,
I mean, if they want to like. And let's talk about Jake Gyllenhaal. I mean, he's not in this category
either.
Yeah,
no, he's fantastic too. Yeah, you're right.
So.
But he didn't have the Weinstein Bucks behind him, so Benedict Cumberbatch got here for the Imitation Game, which, you know, September?
Yeah, that,
which doesn't matter, of course, because it's September, but September when, like, Benedict Cumberbatch is going to win everything, Imitation Game, the biggest thing ever, and then that slowly petered out.
Yeah, not a great month.
But what was it at? Was it like Toronto, Tarantino, where like Imitation Game started?
Yeah,
getting, like,
I think
all
it was at Toronto. And there was one particular Oscar blogger who just kept saying the entire season that it could win. Mm-hmm. And
you're not talking about Mark Johnson.
No, I'm. No. I cannot mention the name of this person. But if you follow them on Twitter, you'll know who he is.
Got it. Okay. All right. Next up, we have Best Director. Alejandro Iñárritu for Birdman, Richard Linklater for Boyhood, Bennett Miller for Foxcatcher, Wes Anderson for The Grand Budapest Hotel, and Morton Tilden for The Imitation Game.
they glad that he's nominated.
Mm-hmm. Mark Hoban, what do you have for Best Director?
So I have Alejandro Iñárritu for Birdman, even though... it hurts me to say that.
Terrence?
So this and Best Picture are... I'm totally going against all of the evidence that is telling me what I should pick. And I'm going Richard Linklater for Boyhood.
Abe?
Tough category. Really, really tough. I'm going with Richard Linklater, Boyhood. Would I be upset if anybody else won? Not really, but I would love it to see if Boyhood...
We'd all be upset if Morton Tilden won for the Imitation.
Yeah, yeah, that's true, actually. I don't want to rain on the guy's parade.
Aaron, how do you feel about Foxcatcher?
I would not be a fan of it winning, being the best directed movie of the year. No, I wouldn't be a fan of it.
Okay, so
I would.
Well, yeah,
I love that
movie. It's your number one.
No, so, yeah. I liked Foxcatcher as well.
I have Richard Linklater for Boyhood. And yeah, that'd be my, I mean, it's obviously my want because it's my number one
movie. So I'm the only one picking Birdman?
I
I believe so.
This is the last thing. This is the last thing I changed.
And I'm the one who. I mean, I don't know if you guys realize this. I love Boyhood, so I mean, that's the one that I actually would love to see win it. So, but I really feel like Birdman is captured the. It's at the moment right now where it's going to win.
And I'm with Terrence in terms of I'm going against everything that says yeah. Birdman because I think that achievement's there and it's like. Linklater, you know, Linklater, it seems like he's not going to get this nomination again, where Iñárritu probably could, and that's kind of where my logic lies in this.
Next year.
Yeah, he has another movie coming. Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's plenty of opportunity for Iñárritu because he is that kind of director that will keep doing very interesting stuff that fits the Oscars kind of pedigree, where Boyhood, it's like not necessarily like a fluke, but it's you know, it's like a... Even though Linklater is not old, he's not stopping directing, it feels like a culmination of the kind of work that he does that's turned into this kind of movie phenomenon, for to say.
Right.
But it's tough. It is. I mean, this is the last thing I changed. I had Birdman, but I'm like, Boyhood.
Like a last second change?
This, well, it, no,
I'll give you a couple things. Okay, so Iñárritu won the DGA, mm-hmm. which is pretty major. And I guess this also has a little bit to do with further categories down the road, but. But I feel more strongly about Iñárritu than I do about Linklater.
Well, let's get to Best Picture then. So we have American Sniper,
right.
Birdman, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. So, Mark, what do you have for Best Picture?
So I have gone with Birdman.
That's a wise choice.
Terrence?
But I'm not making the wise choices, so I'm going with Boyhood. Yeah.
Abe?
You don't sound so sure there.
We'll get to it. I'll explain why. Abe?
Boyhood. I'm going with Boyhood.
Oh, you're not picking, like, Whiplash or something crazy? You're not getting...
No. If any of the British films win this...
Rosamund Pike, you're not picking her for Best Picture?
She's not even nominated for Best Picture.
I like how you consider it like that was an option. She could have been nominated for Best Picture, but she's not. So I'm not picking that, Aaron. You're wrong.
Would I have? Yeah, she's hot.
So I'm picking Birdman, which means I'm splitting my vote, which I think is a terrible idea, but I'm doing it anyway.
I think it's better if you go with the same choice in both spots.
I had it. I don't know. I had Birdman.
The Academy hasn't really been giving Best Picture to Best Director, have they?
I mean, I'm not going to go off patterns based off previous years, but I mean, I'm going with Birdman for the reasons that I should go with it for Director, but I'm appealing to my thoughts that Boyhood. They'll honor Linklater, but for Picture, they'll go for Boyhood. Or, sorry, for Birdman.
Birdman.
Right.
This is why it was the last thing I changed, because
that,
I had both
I mean,
for
that's,
Birdman.
That's not far-fetched.
I think it is.
The conversation that Terrence, Mark, you and I had on the nominations podcast, we had a good point about you know the quote-unquote gimmick of it all. So, that's given me some second thoughts as well. I just want to see it win.
Yeah, I mean that's
this is a tough one because it's like Birdman has the PGA SAG and DGA wins all on its side. But if we're just going on like what might move somebody or what was the story of the year, I think that's Boyhood, and it'd be tough for me to see Birdman winning with that type of support when it's not the story of the year.
You know what Birdman is? Birdman is show business patting themselves on the back. It's all about Hollywood and actors, and I think that speaks volumes to them. And I think it swept the Guild Awards. I mean, the Critics Awards were all about Boyhood. But then when it came down to the Guilds, DGA, PGA, and SAG, it all went to Birdman. And that's why I think it's going to be Birdman, based on that. Birdman is my will win, but Boyhood is my want to win. That's the movie with heart. It's sweet. It's like Birdman is a strange movie. I mean, they're both in some ways they're both kind of strange. Neither one is like the typical Hollywood film. But I think Birdman is a Birdman is a little bit more of a prickly film. It's kind of strange. And Boyhood is like a movie more with heart. And
also, I feel as though like Birdman, I love Birdman, don't get me wrong, but I feel as though it's got some inside things that if you don't really pay attention to movies as much, or if you don't really pay attention to the industry as much, you won't really get some of it. You won't really get some of the motives of some of the characters, some of the actors, and whatever else. So in terms of quote-unquote accessibility, I think Boyhood is that picture.
The other thing is, I mean, not that this is always the reason, but Birdman, along with Grand Budapest Hotel, have the most nominations. So for Birdman to win isn't such a stretch. I mean, it won all the Guild Awards. It has the most nominations. It kind of makes sense to me on paper anyway.
This is the crazy thing. Going by my picks, they make no sense because basically I have Birdman winning just Best Picture in Cinematography, which is insane.
Yeah, and that would be. Birdman winning without an editing nomination, which hasn't happened since Ordinary People.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a while.
But how many awards did 12 Years a Slave win?
It won three.
Just three. That's not so. The fact that it's only winning. You have it only winning two awards. Isn't that?
Yeah, but that was a screenplay and an acting prize.
Yeah, it's
because like right now I only have Birdman winning one, and I think that. I go back over my predictions and I'm like, this is so stupid. Like it has to win more, but
the Oscars are a funny race.
Yeah.
Well, I have Birdman winning three awards. So.
And see, I have Boyhood winning like all the, basically the really good awards it could win except for Best Picture, which is also weird where it's like going to win Best Director, Supporting Actors, Editing, but somehow stop short of Best Picture. This is why this race is so like weird to like predict this year. There's so many different like ideas of what beyond just, and I mean it's stemming from what we think based off like guilds and just knowledge that we have in general because we're film fans and we do this. But this is there's a lot of like up in the air stuff going on here that really won't be we won't figure out until the night of the Oscars when who knows, Birdman could sweep everything, could start winning a bunch of stuff, or whatever. Grand Budapest Hotel wins a ton of stuff.
There is that year where
Life of Pi was winning like a bunch of things. I was like, it could win Best Picture at this point. There's like a weird chance that this could happen.
Because Life of Pi won director.
It won director. It's like this could happen. Yeah. Like, this would be crazy.
Oh, I knew that was.
Well, I'll tell you, if Emma Stone wins Best Supporting Actress for Birdman, then it's winning everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That I would be disheartened. I'd probably just have to. I'm going to an Oscar party. I'd probably just have to leave.
I'm gonna listen to it on the radio.
But then, how will I read your tweets?
I'd be like, just tell me when the show is over. I'll come back and look.
You'll go back. You'll watch the recent episode of Empire, start tweeting about that, then come back. It's like, who won again? All right. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
All right, so we've done this. We've gone through all the nominations here. This should be very exciting. We'll see what happens. I imagine both Mark, you and Terrence, you just said you're being an Oscar party. Mark, you going to be at an Oscar party or doing something?
I'm not going to an Oscar party this year.
Oh, would you be available after the Oscars to jump back on this podcast?
Yeah, I could do that.
We'll talk about this off air, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll figure this out. try to make this
well,
out.
Like last year, you invited me to something, and I couldn't.
We were up at Jordan, friend of the show, Jordan Grout's place.
So,
I was this year.
I am like available. So
we should go to Jordan's place. Anyway. I know he's around.
He lives so far, though. That's the problem.
I won't be up. I live over 500 miles away from him. I went up there last year.
Just for the Oscar race.
Yeah, but still. That's it. This is a bonus episode. We should be ending this, not prolonging it. But no, thank you guys for jumping on. Mark Hoban, where can people find more of your work online?
You can find more of my work on my personal blog, fastfilmreviews.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter, Mark_Hoban.
Terrence?
You can find me at awardscircuit.com, at my own personal site, lenoirtour.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at LENOIRAUTEUR.
That spells Lenoir Tour. Okay. Abe?
You can find more fun stuff over at dakotazeek.com or twitter.com/AaronsPS4, #WalrusMoose. Or if you're in the Bay and you want to come visit, holla at me.
Yeah, Abe lives at 145683 Not Real Road.
Evergreen Terrace, yeah. Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Thank you, McGruff. yeah, Abe just said my stuff. I'm also at Why So Blue, and you can find me writing about TV at theyoungfolks.com. You can find all the other episodes about Now, There, and Abe on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Podomatic, hhwlod.com.
Google us.
we have our Twitter and our Facebook, Out Now Podcast, just slash and dot that slash that kind of stuff. You know how to find us if you want to.
Send us an email. I love reading.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts. We do have a contest going on. I'm going to post this, obviously, before the Oscars. So, yeah, we do have a contest going on where if you submit your thoughts on what you think are going to be the best picture, director, the acting categories, and the screenplay categories, if you get all of those right or the person that gets the most of those right, they'll win a prize. If there's a tie, we'll figure that out as well. We already have a few submissions, actually, which is great. Great on you guys for doing that. But yeah, the contest is currently going. It'll go until, you know, the Oscars are like, we'll know because we'll have timestamps, so we'll know what happened. But email us at outnowpodcast@gmail.com to enter into that contest. Once again, Mark and Terrence, thank you both for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for having me.
For sure. And good luck to all of us, right?
Yeah.
So until next time, so long.
And goodbye.